Very beautiful painting, huh? Makes you want to join the kirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a very nice passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita where King Pratapa Rudra, from a rooftop on the royal palace, is seeing the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to Puri for the first time. And Gopinath Acharya, who knows everybody, is doing the who's who. And this one is this one, that one is that one. See that one over there and who they are. And giving a little bio sketch of each person. And the king says, I've seen kirtan before, but I've never seen anything like this before. What is this? He said, oh, this is prema sankirtan. Like two different levels of kirtan. Just continually chant in association of wonderfully inspired devotees, and that day may be ours. There's examples of ecstatic kirtan when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda just appeared mystically, transcendentally. I wasn't there for this personally, but I was told that very early in New York City, when the devotees were enthusiastic to have Srila Prabhupada interact with the public, knowing how much benefit they had gotten from his association, they wanted to make a spectacular event for Prabhupada to give his association. So they booked a hall. It was expensive. They didn't have money, but somehow they scraped up the money and rented the hall and advertised and advertised and advertised. And then the event came, and there was hardly anybody that came to the event. And they felt really bad. And so after the event, they apologized profusely. Prabhupada, we're so sorry, nobody came. And Prabhupada said, what do you mean nobody came? Didn't you see? Narad Muni was there. Lord Chaitanya was there. Lord Nityananda was there. Didn't you see? When there's ecstatic kirtan, they are attracted. So the theme that I wanted to speak about this morning connects with yesterday evening's topic that of the limbs of surrender. Dainya, or humility, or karpanya, humility. And one of the nice things about devotee association and this wonderful literature that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote is it gives us examples of how elevated souls manifest humility. Somebody yesterday after class asked, there was a question during class, are we supposed to cultivate humility, or does it just kind of fall from the sky? Or does it come from the process itself? Both. But there's a teaching in Ramanujacharya's teachings that goes like this. There's a process or a sadhana for cultivation of elevated qualities. On the one hand, Krishna decorates his devotee with qualities. One need not strive for qualities. One needs to strive for the principal thing, which is shelter, sharanagati, seeking shelter in the mood of being the servant of Krishna. And seeing that mood, Krishna will decorate his devotees with qualities. Then there's, on the other hand, when the devotee comes before Krishna, One wants to see Krishna smile, that Krishna is pleased. And one of the things that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is, he's pleased when his devotees come before him with such and such qualities. He lists a whole list of qualities. Such a person is very dear to me. So we want Krishna to smile. We want the unlimited Atmarama, Krishna, fully self-satisfied Krishna, to be happy. So we, that's the horse, and then the horse pulls the cart. The cart is, the qualities are for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, not just so we have some qualities. So the cultivation of the quality of humility, or any other aspire for characteristic in devotion, Ramanujacharya describes a process where certain elevated personalities, or singular or plural, that exemplify that particular quality, and you hear about that person, you remember that person, you speak about that person, you absorb your consciousness in that person, in particular the qualities of that person, and in course of time that quality becomes your quality because you're associating with that person who has that quality. It's not so dissimilar from the process of raga nuga bhakti, where one may be attracted to a particular eternal associate of Krishna, and similar process. That's a way of associating with elevated souls. Even there may not be physically present, like Rupa Goswami may not be physically present, go to his bhajan kutir and Radha Damodar temple and pay him a visit. He may not be able to do that physically, but transcendentally for sure. Srila Prabhupada, in a private discussion, wasn't like in his books or a public lecture or something like that, but here we are in a public assembly repeating something that Prabhupada disclosed in a little private assembly of devotees. Srila Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan was at the Radha Damodar temple, and just out his window from the Radha Damodar temple was the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. And he disclosed confidentially that one time Rupa Goswami came personally and spoke with Prabhupada and encouraged him to continue. You're doing the right thing. Krishna will help you. Carry on. So he did. Getting a little encouragement is always nice, and what to speak of Rupa Goswami coming to you and saying, keep going. You're doing the right thing. Since we're the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, established by our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, we're followers of Lord Chaitanya, but specifically, Prabhupada writes, we're followers of Rupa Goswami, who's the exemplary follower of Lord Chaitanya. So I wanted to go there first. Profiles of humility. And little embellishment, but from that, as I discussed yesterday evening, when humility is there as the foundation, then so many other things can be placed upon the foundation. And with Rupa Goswami, certainly that's the case. There are two situations described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pronounced the fact that he invested the fullness of his mercy in Rupa Goswami. That's like, what's the fullness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy look like? That's what it looks like. We have this standard prayer given by Rupa Goswami, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Vidayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Trishe Namah. It's one of our standard Vaishnava prayers. And in that prayer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is characterized as the most munificent, that's how Prabhupada is translated, most munificent. Munificent is a really nice word. Those people that like words, it's a really nice word. It's like not only magnanimous, but like munificent, like superlative magnanimous. The most kind. Most kind. And we're going to hear some prayers that indicate how he's most kind. But he, specifically in that prayer, he gave what no other incarnation of God or Krishna has ever given before. Never. And that is the particular kind of love that's found amongst the residents of Vrindavan. And he was just giving it. Like, please take it. But I'm not qualified. That's okay. Please take it. Well, I'm from a low birth and I'm not very intelligent and it's okay. Please take it. Please take it. Please take it. Very, very kind. And the fullness of that mercy was manifest in Rupa Goswami, and twice it was spoken of in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And here's an image that shows one of them. This is in Antya Lila chapter 1. Where the description is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in Sankirtan, congregational chanting in a public forum. And while the Kirtan was going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciting over and over again a particular phrase, like a song, just using vernacular here, a song that was like a film song, boy loves girl and woo 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 kind of song. He loves her, she loves him, woo 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 kind of a song. Nobody really understood. They didn't have Bollywood then, in any case. So later, Rupa Goswami, understanding the mind of Lord Chaitanya, he composed a companion verse in Sanskrit that revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner feelings. He wrote it on a palm leaf, placed it in the thatched roof of his little hut where he was staying, and went to do his midday bathing and midday duties. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Rupa Goswami, who wasn't there because he was off taking his bath, but he saw this leaf sticking out of the roof, and he took the leaf and he read the leaf. Read what Rupa Goswami had written. And he was astonished to read. And can we get the microphone, portable microphone, give it to Dravida Prabhu? I have to read the book, but if it's have Dravida, we don't even need a book. We just invite Dravida to speak.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Priyaksoyam Krishna Sahachati Kudu Chaitamilitas Tadaham Saradha Tadidam Bayo Sangamasukam Tatapyanta Kailan Mododamodali Panchamadushe Maname Kalindi Pulinavatanaya Spahayati.
And now your poeticized translation, then I'll read the Chaitanya Charitamrita version.
You have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita version.
Okay. That very personality who stole my heart. Huh? Say it again. Okay. My dear friend, now I have met my very old and dear friend Krishna on this field of Kurukshetra. I am the same Radharani. And now we are meeting together. It is very pleasant, but I would still like to go to the bank of the Jamuna, beneath the trees of the forest there. I wish to hear the vibration of his sweet flute playing the fifth note within that forest of Vrindavan. So this verse in the Thatched Hut ended up in Padyavali, one of the writings of Rupa Goswami. But it's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His feelings inside is he's in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani, when Radharani saw Krishna, not in Vrindavan, but in Kurukshetra, it's the pastime is described in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, on the occasion of a solar eclipse, devotees went to Kurukshetra to take their sacred bath there, and there Radha and Krishna saw each other again. And so seeing Krishna, she was delighted, but it didn't fit. She longed to see Krishna again in Vrindavan. She wanted to see Krishna in Vrindavan, by the side of the river Jamuna, beneath the trees, hearing Krishna playing upon his flute in the fifth note. So that song that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing was in that mood. No one could understand it, but Rupa Goswami could understand it. So Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the verse to Surup Damodar. And he read the verse to Surup Damodar and said, Surup Damodar, how is it possible that Rupa Goswami could understand my heart? I didn't disclose it to him. And Surup Damodar said, I can only conclude one thing. For him to understand, you must have given your mercy. Otherwise he couldn't understand. And Lord Chaitanya acknowledged, yes, it's true. When I instructed him in Dashashvamedha Ghat, I gave him this special empowerment. Here's the fullness of my mercy so you can understand me, and therefore you can understand my teachings, which I've just given you. Because to understand teachings, you need to understand the person. Through teachings, you can understand the person, but you may not. So he empowered him in that way. And then, in the same chapter, there's another description. A second time where Lord Chaitanya said the same thing. And that is, Rupa Goswami, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described, the humility of Rupa Goswami is portrayed in the painting, but when he came back from having taken his bath and he saw Lord Chaitanya standing there reading this verse, he fell down like a stick. And Lord Chaitanya was so moved by not only the humility, but the bhakti, from submission and in humility, natural devotion arises. So in this other circumstance, Rupa Goswami was living in Vrindavan, and while living in Vrindavan, being the inspired transcendental poet that he was, he began in his mind composing a drama about Krishna. And long narration, but to make it short, as he was hankering to be with Lord Chaitanya, so he made it a long pilgrimage all the way from Vrindavan to Puri. That's a long walk. It's a long train ride, too. It's a really long walk. So he was walking, and as he was walking, he was continuing to compose this drama. And when he just reached near Bhubaneswar, which is north of Puri, just not so far from Puri, he stopped, spent the night at a village called Satyabhamapur. Satyabhamapur is a place where Satyabhama lives. Satyabhama is one of the queens of Krishna. So during the night, when he was resting, Rupa Goswami had a dream where Satyabhama came to him and instructed him, "You're composing a drama about Krishna, but make it in two parts. Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna out of Vrindavan." So he took it as an instruction from Satyabhama. It was. And so he continued his journey to Puri. In his mind now, it's two dramas. And when he reached Puri, he got Lord Chaitanya's association, again with his complete humility, throwing himself at his feet. He felt like Haridas felt, humility such that he was not eligible to even see Lord Jagannath, to enter the temple of Lord Jagannath, so he stayed at some distance. He stayed with Haridas. So one day, of the many days that Lord Chaitanya visited Haridas, he spoke directly to Rupa Goswami and told him, "I understand you're composing a drama. Make it two dramas, not just one." And Rupa Goswami could understand. He's omniscient. He knows my heart. He knows that I'm composing a drama, it's got to be two. So Krishna and Vrindavan. So then became two. And those two have been very kindly translated by Bhanu Swami. And Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are called Vidagdha Madhava, and his pastimes in Dwaraka are Lalita Madhava. So these covers of these two books. And there's a very nice section when Lord Chaitanya, when visiting Haridas and Rupa Goswami, he requested Rupa Goswami to recite a verse glorifying the holy name. Where's the microphone? Oh.
Ready?
Ready.
Tunde tandavani ratim vatanute tundavali lamdehe Kana kroda kadamani katayate karna buddhi vyakspiham Chetak prangana sangini vijayate savendriyanam kantim No jane janitaki yadvidamitai krishneti varnadvahi.
I do not know how much nectar the two syllables, Krishna, have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ear, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Very, very beautiful description of the holy name. And hearing this description of the holy name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was astonished. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was astonished. So he said to Rupa Goswami, "I'd like to bring my other associates with me tomorrow. Be prepared to discuss and share with them this drama that you're composing." And he went back and told, this time it was Ramananda Roy, showed this verse glorifying the holy name and asked Ramananda Roy, how did he develop this ability? He said, well, there's only one way. You gave him the fullness of your mercy. And he said, yes, I did. I mean, that's a lot of mercy. The fullness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Yet he was, the foundation of that was his complete humility. There's many, many demonstrations of that humility. Here's one. His elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, was held in esteem by Rupa Goswami as his Shiksha Guru. As is Vedic culture, the elder brother is viewed in that way. So, deference was made by Rupa Goswami to Sanatan Goswami. At the same time, everyone knew Rupa Goswami is bearing the fullness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He's confirmed it twice. And therefore, when you look in our disciplic succession, following Lord Chaitanya is Rupa Goswami. Or it'll say Rupa, comma, Sanatan. And Sanatan accepted that mood of love of his younger brother. And engaged Rupa Goswami in ways like that to review his writings and so forth and so on. Just such intimate kinds of love. So that day, something that I like very much about this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the next day, Lord Chaitanya brought all of his associates and they had them assembled. And then invited Rupa and Haridas to come and sit and recite different verses. And Rupa Goswami remained at a distance because he didn't feel himself qualified to sit with these elevated personalities. Now they've come to hear from him. So they're esteeming him in this high regard. But he's feeling unqualified to even sit proximate to them. So Lord Chaitanya engaged Ramananda Roy because he's very expert in drama, very expert in drama, to select, point out key verses and ask him to recite those key verses. It's something like, someone has cooked a really nice Rajbhog offering for the deities and someone that's a connoisseur comes and tastes a little something. He's like a sampler. And hearing the verses of Rupa Goswami, they all become astonished. There's one more that maybe Dravida can recite. The introductory verse of Vidugdha Madhava, Sudhanam, 128. Anti Lila, chapter 1, text 128.
Sudhanam Chandrinam, Apimadadimon Madhadamani. Dadana Radhadi Pranayagana Sarai Sadabitam Samantat Santapod Gamavishama Sansara Sadani Panitante Krishnam Hadatu Hadilila Shikadini.
You have your poeticized translation. May the pastimes of Sri Krishna reduce the miseries existing in the material world and nullify all unwanted desires. The pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like shikadani, a blend of yogurt and sugar candy. They overpower the pride of even the nectar produced on the moon, for they distribute the sweet fragrance of the concentrated loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And the associates of Mahaprabhu were going, wow. And verse after verse after verse he recites, and Surupa Damodar says, this isn't a drama. This is a shower of nectar.
One slight point. This meter that this verse is in, the same meter as Priyaksoyam Krishna, is called Shikharini. That's the name of the meter. The meters have names. So the name of the meter he worked into the verse itself, Shikharini. Just one note.
Rupa Goswami, I mean, going into the empowerment and prowess and subtleties of our great acharyas, it's an ocean. You could just dive in and not find the bottom and drown yourself. It's amazing. It's amazing. We're so dull, and they're so refined, and we, you know, even in our dullness, it's amazing. It's very wonderful. And so the foundation of all of this is surrender based upon a profound sense of humility. Not the worldly sense of humility, the turn the other cheek kind of humility, but a profound sense of in the presence of Krishna or the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very, very deep sense of indebtedness, like Hemangi was saying, you know, this sense of gratitude to the kindness of the Supreme Lord upon his devotee and the eagerness to be in his service. So another personality, hard to speak about humility without speaking about Kolavachar Sridhar. Kolavachar Sridhar, in one sense, was an obscure personality. He was very, 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 very poor. He was a merchant by occupation, and his income was from near his house. There was a grove of banana trees, so he'd gather the leaves of a banana tree and make banana leaves and banana cups, and then flowers. So banana flowers and bananas. It was, you know, bananas, banana tree products, and he would sit by the side of the road with his products and sell them, and whatever he would receive in the course of the day, half of the little bit that he received would be for worship of Mother Ganges, and the other half would maintain himself. He was very, very poor. It's described that his clothing had so many holes in it. There was more holes in his clothes than there was clothes. And the roof in which he lived was a thatched roof, but it had more holes, so whenever it would rain, it would just pour down rain on him. Very, very poor. But he wasn't feeling poor. He was feeling very happy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honored his bhakti in a very interesting way, without the details of how. Lord Chaitanya would come as a young Brahmin boy or young Brahmin man, and kind of tease as a Vaishnava. Well, the system in India is different than the system in America. When you go to a store, there's a price tag and you pay the price, or you don't pay the price. But in India, there is this system that you barter with the merchant. And that's kind of like, you know, their enjoyment. They enjoy the bartering program. And one of the dramas of Raghunath Das Goswami, Dana Keli Kamudi, is a book that describes a pastime where Krishna and Radharani are bartering for a price for her yogurt, and it goes on and 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 on. Like there's a certain relish in. But the way that the bartering is going on is just glorifying one another. It's very different than what goes on in the marketplace in India. So Lord Chaitanya would tease Kulaveitra Sridhar, bargaining for, give me a fair price, I'm a brahmana, give me charity, and so many things. Then he'd come, and Kulaveitra Sridhar would finally say, you know, take whatever you want, just don't come back tomorrow. And Lord Chaitanya would come back tomorrow and the next day because he enjoyed his association so much. So on the occasion, this painting is showing an illustration of, on the occasion of the Mahaprakash Leela, it's a long description of that found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Lord Chaitanya, rather than concealing his identity as a student or a young Vaishnava Brahmin, he disclosed his divinity and disclosed to each of the devotees their eternal position, aside from, you know, the body that they had as his, you know, associates in his, Lord Chaitanya's Leela, who they are eternally. And this is showing, after inviting, Kulaveitra Sridhar was not in that assembly, it was going on at night. And Kulaveitra Sridhar's place is quite a distance away from where this kirtan was going on. And it was night, they didn't have street lights. The Lord Chaitanya said, just listen for the sound of Kulaveitra Sridhar's chanting his japa, because all night long he chants japa. And just follow the sound of his voice and you'll find him. So they did that and they brought him before Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya ordered him, I want to give you a benediction, take a benediction. And he didn't want to take it, didn't want anything. Just give me your association birth after birth. You can do with me whatever you want. You can come and tease me all you like. It's okay. Just give me your association birth after birth. Then Lord Chaitanya showed his form of Krishna Balaram to Kulaveitra Sridhar. This is, you know, the altar and flowers leading to the altar. Very beautiful painting. So again, mercy comes to one who is meek and humble. There's a biblical saying, the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God, or something to that effect. So this meekness, it's not, there's a transcendental quality of this meekness. I want to read a little bit about also, maybe less known amongst the devotees, but Murari Gupta, a very wonderful associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murari Gupta was elder to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his profession was that of a physician. The Chaitanya Charitamrita that we have, the pastime that said that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's life in Navadvipa was based upon the diaries of Murari Gupta, who was learned, and he kept diaries, and those diaries then became the basis of what Krishna Das Kaviraj wrote about the pastimes before he reached Puri. In the pastimes in Puri, he received from hearing from Raghunath Das Goswami, and that thus we have Chaitanya Charitamrita. But very, very intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The section that I'm going to make reference to from Chaitanya Charitamrita is when the devotees, Lord Chaitanya has completed his South India tour, and he's now back in Puri, and notice went to the devotees in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya's back, come see him. So they come. First they have to have a big festival in honor that Lord Chaitanya is back, and then they come. And one by one they come before Lord Chaitanya, and just a little get the flavor of this. The first person who Lord Chaitanya greets is Advaita Acharya, as in our Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita. So he greets Advaita Acharya first. and offers his appreciation of his devotion. Then next comes Vasudev Datta and his son Mukunda Datta. Oh, Vasudev Datta, Lord Chaitanya loved him very much because of his compassion, without the detail, because of time. One could easily just go on in Gauralila and just go on and on. So he says to Vasudev that although your son Mukunda, I've known since childhood, we went to school together, we're very, very dear friends and associates, but when I see you, I'm even more pleased than when I see him. This is my heart. And Vasudev is very humble and says, I can understand that my son received your mercy before I did, and therefore I consider him spiritually senior to me, although he's by age younger than me. And so I hold him in that regard. He's senior to me because he received your mercy first. Then Lord Chaitanya said, I've come from South India and I have two books, and I'd like to make a gift copy to you of these two books. And one of them is Brahma Samhita that he found in the course of his travels. And I would like you to please make copies and have the other devotees make copies. So it's mentioned that everyone started making, because they had to be printed by hand. They didn't have printing presses at that time. Then next is Srivas, again in our Panchat, Srivas Adigaur Bhaktavrinda. Srivas was there with his three brothers, and Lord Chaitanya, they fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet, and Lord Chaitanya said, you four brothers have purchased me by your devotion. And Srivas said, no, it's the other way around. We have been purchased by your affection, all four of us. Then Shivananda Sen, there's a really nice verse I want to read. Shivananda Sen speaks. It's interesting because it's a verse that's spoken or written by Jamunacharya. So interesting. He's speaking a verse by a previous acharya from another disciplic line. It's a beautiful verse. Do you know that one too? 151. Madhya Lila, chapter 11, text 151. Nimajito Nanta. Madhya 11, 151.
Nimanjito nanda babana bantas chirayame kulama basi labdha trayapi labdham bhagavandi danim anuttamam patramidham dayaya.
The verse translation is, O my Lord, O Unlimited One, although I was merged in the ocean of nescience, I have now, after a long time, attained you, just as one may attain the seashore. My dear Lord, by getting me, you have obtained the right person upon whom to bestow your causeless mercy. Very beautiful. Shivananda Sen was amongst all the associates that had traveled from Bengal. He was the senior. He was like looking after them all and seeing to their needs, and you know, just such a like an elder caring for all the juniors. He was elder in that way, and yet he's considering himself completely at Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Again, humility. And that humility being a springboard for shelter taking. Then comes Murari Gupta. It's very beautiful. Murari Gupta, at first, did not meet the Lord, but rather remained outside the door. He wouldn't even come in, falling down like a stick to offer obeisances. When Lord Chaitanya could not see Murari amongst the devotees, he inquired about him. Thereupon, many people immediately went to Murari, running to take him to the Lord. Thus, Murari Gupta, catching two bunches of straw in his teeth, went before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with humility and meekness. Upon seeing Murari come to meet him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to him, his elder, Murari. But Murari began to run away and speak as follows, "My Lord, please do not touch me. I am most abominable and I'm not fit for you to touch because my body is sinful." The Lord said, "My dear Murari, please restrain your unnecessary humility. My mind is disturbed to see your meekness." Saying this, the Lord embraced Murari and had him sit down by his side. The Lord then began to cleanse his body with his own hands. There's so many nice descriptions of the intimate association between these two, several of them. I'll just mention a few. One is a very wonderful situation where the house of Murari Gupta is not so far from where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father lived. So one time, Murari went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and they were seated side by side. And Murari went and paid his obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and then paid his obeisances at the feet of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya chastised him. "So what are you doing, Murari? You're violating religious principle." Murari couldn't understand. What's wrong? Paying obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And then he went back to his home, his mind, because he had love for Lord Chaitanya. He didn't want to displease Lord Chaitanya. Then in a dream, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya appeared, and they transformed themselves into Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna was indicating, "You should offer your respects, he's my elder brother." So Murari went the next day and paid his obeisances at the feet of Lord Nityananda, and then to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing, Murari?" I'm just doing as you've ordered me." Lord Chaitanya was very pleased. He gave him some betel nuts to chew. So then Murari went back to his home, and he told his wife to prepare rice. And he took the rice that she prepared and threw it on the ground and told her, "Now prepare some more." And she prepared some more. He took that rice and threw it on the ground. And again, his wife thought, Murari's gone mad. He was making offering in his very special way to Lord Chaitanya. And these pastimes are described in this book, but it's also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita that during this Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya indicated to Murari that Murari was Hanuman. And he said, "You are Hanuman and I am your Lord, Ramachandra," because Lord Chaitanya is the avatari, the source of all avatars. And for that reason, Murari had this affection for Lord Chaitanya, while at the same time he was Rambhakta, he was the devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Another pastime was Lord Chaitanya instructed Murari, "You should just worship Krishna." Murari didn't want to displease Lord Chaitanya, but he couldn't give up Lord Ramachandra, so he couldn't sleep at night. He didn't want to disobey Lord Chaitanya, but he couldn't give up Lord Ramachandra. So he came back the next morning, delirious. I can't give up Lord Ramachandra. You've asked me to worship Krishna alone. I can't do that. I'm disobeying your instructions. Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said, "You're a true devotee. Your love for Lord Ramachandra is deep in your heart. I just wanted to show the world the quality of your love for Lord Ramachandra." Then here's another pastime where Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu pictured here, entered into a mood of Lord Varaha. And Murari could understand his mood, and so Murari gave him a clay pot of water, because clay is made of earth. Clay pot is made of earth. And so Lord Chaitanya then, according to this description, he manifested the form of Lord Varaha and lifted the pot. He was rescuing the earth just as the Leela of Lord Varaha. Then another time Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Lord Vishnu, and Murari understood his mood, and so he had Lord Chaitanya get on his back. "I'll be a Garuda and you'll be Lord Vishnu and I'll carry you wherever you want to go." He just had such an uncanny love for Lord Chaitanya. On another occasion, Murari Gupta, entered a mood where he didn't want to see Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. He had too much affection for him. He couldn't bear Lord Chaitanya's departure. So he decided, foolishly, that he would take his life before that terrible thing happened. So he got a sharp knife, specifically it's described, the kind of knife that's very hard. It's hard enough it can carve and shape conch shells, make carvings into the side of the conch shell, and he kept it in a place hidden. Lord Chaitanya came one day and said, "Give me your knife." And Murari said, "What knife? What are you talking about? What do you know? I don't have a knife." Lord Chaitanya said, "Give me your knife." "I don't have a knife." And Lord Chaitanya went to exactly where Murari Gupta had hidden a knife and took the knife. Said, you can't do this. You're my devotee. You've surrendered to me, that your body belongs to me. You can't take your life. There's service for you. You can't do this." And left. Murari fell to the ground. Complete. Although he was elder, as was Haridas Thakur, elder, but this mood of humility pervades the life of a devotee. And in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, this is now moving from Chaitanya Leela to Bhagavatam. In our morning verse, we read about Prahlad Maharaj being glorified by Lord Nrisingadev, that bhaktanam sarvesham prati rupa drik. Nrisingadev's confirming that you are the best example of my devotee. Oh, he's the best example in many ways, but one of them certainly is his humility. In the purport of that verse, Prabhupada recites the 12 Mahajans, and amongst the 12 Mahajans, Prahlad is one, and Prabhupada then confirms, amongst the 12, Prahlad is the best example. So if you want a good example to follow, Prahlad's a good choice to pick, because his mood, Prahlad's mood, is likened even to that of Haridas Thakur. So when Lord Nrisingadev appeared in this world to protect Prahlad, and the demigods all assembled wanted to honor Lord Nrisingadev, but their prayers were inadequate, they came to Prahlad and invited Prahlad to come before Lord Nrisingadev to offer prayers. And the first prayers of Lord Nrisingadev, the first prayers of Prahlad were just statements of humility. That's a beginning of devotion is with humility, or the converse. Without humility, how can there be devotion? How can there be submission in devotion? So he cites his disqualification. I have no business coming before you. I have no qualification. I'm disqualified. Here's my disqualifications. This and that and the other and the other and the other. My disqualifications. But the demigods, they've asked me to do this service, so I have to do the service. I can't say no. But there's one thing I do know. And that is, you're merciful. Very important. One thing I know is, you're merciful. So even the offering I'm going to present is paltry, insignificant. You're merciful. And you'll accept the offering just because you're merciful. And then he offers his prayers. I'm going to end with another personality from Srimad Bhagavatam that's well known by all of us. Sudama Brahman. And the narration found in the Bhagavatam is that Sudama and Krishna went to school together after Krishna had returned to Mathura after having lived in Vrindavan for 12 plus years. When he went to Mathura and was reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki, one of the first things they wanted to do was send him to school. He's this 12-year-old boy, he hasn't even gone to school yet. So they found the best teacher, Sandipani Muni, and they sent him to Sandipani Muni school. So Sudama was from a Brahmana family, and Krishna was from a Kshatriya family, and they were both given some common service of going into the forest for gathering wood for the fire yajna. And one time, when they were in the forest, a big storm came. And when the storm came, it was torrents of rain, it was the dark of night, and so they spent the night underneath a tree in each other's association. And Sandipani Muni, the next morning, the storm was over, and it was the early morning, and so they took all the boys and went looking for Krishna and Sudama, and they found them, and he was so appreciative of the austerities that they undergone for him. There's many parts of this narration. But later, they both grew up. Sudama became married and Krishna became married. And Sudama was a Brahmana who was very poor, as we see specifically, poor Bandar. Some of us will be going to Dwarka for a pilgrimage during Kartik next year, 2016. We're going to visit this place. It's a small place outside of Dwarka, poor Bandar, the place where Sudama lived. And so they're like, it's not even like suburbs, it's just a little village outside of the big city, the capital city of Dwarka. And the wife of Sudama was very concerned about her husband's condition. They were so poor, and she hardly had anything to eat. And in a, not a nagging way, in a very loving way, she was concerned about her husband's welfare and said, "You have a dear, very dear friend. You went to school with Krishna. Krishna is not far away in Dwarka. Surely he'll be kind upon you and give you some assistance. Brahmanas can receive charity from kings. So why don't you go visit your friend, Krishna?" And repeating and repeating, you know, those of you that are married know how wives can do that. And so he went. And this, what he's carrying is a gift for Krishna. Very important part of this leela. It's a bag of broken rice, because they were so poor, they didn't have proper rice. That's all they had. So that was the gift that he brought to Krishna. So he's entering into Dwarka, and here's Krishna seated on the throne with Rukmini, and Krishna's getting off the throne to come and greet his very dear friend Sudama. They're of the same age. And he seats Krishna, he seats Sudama in a royal position and has the queens come and the maidservants make very special offerings to Sudama, including washing his own feet. There's many beautiful paintings on this very same Leela. Here's Krishna washing Sudama's feet. But, you know, what's Krishna paying attention to? With tears in his eyes, he's looking in the eyes of Sudama. And Sudama, with tears in his eyes, is looking in the eyes of Krishna, his dear friend. And another painting. He looks too old in this painting, but Krishna is washing his feet, taking this humble position. And then they spent their time together just discussing wonderful, enjoyable topics together. Eventually Krishna said, "I see you're holding something behind your back. What is that?" And he snatched it, and it was this rice, and he started eating from the rice. And once and twice and third time, there's different versions of this, but Rukmini held his hand saying, "No." And one sense was, "This is not fit quality for you." And another sense is, "How will you repay him? You're the all-opulent Supreme Lord, but the love with which Sudama has offered what he has offered is, how are you going to repay him? How can you repay the love of your devotee?" We'll hear some more about this too. There's this nice description in relation to this particular exchange with Sudama. If one makes friendship with Krishna, one will never be cheated and will get all help. This is Prabhupada's words in a purport. The friendship with Krishna indicates rasa. It goes beyond just surrender. It's the intimacy of a particular kind of love with Krishna. So Sudama had that rasa with Krishna, friendship. And if you, through submission and through intimacy of love and service, you become so connected with Krishna, masuchaha. Don't worry. Everything that you need will be there. Very similar to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever it is that you need, I'll provide. Whatever it is that you have, I'll preserve. A nice verse from Bhagavad Gita. So this is the fruit of the process. There's the process of surrender, and then there's the fruit of the process of surrender, establishing our loving relationship with Krishna through the medium of loving service, starting with surrender and built on the platform of humility. So thank you, Hare Krishna. Huh? So any, turn the light on, and any comments or discussion? Thank you, Dravida, for your sloka recitation.
I have two questions. One is, in Rupa Goswami's case, Kolovicha Sridhar's case, Murari Gupta, and even Haridas Thakur, all of them had hesitated to take association or be in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling themselves unqualified. My question is, were they primarily feeling unqualified to be specifically in his presence, or in the presence of all the associates, or both? It doesn't really matter.
That doesn't matter. With Rupa Goswami specifically, when he was reciting, it was everyone. They're elevated and I'm abominable. Second question.
When Rupa Goswami was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to speak, he was hesitating.
Yes.
Finally, he actually spoke.
Yes, he finally did.
And I think similarly with Prahlad Maharaj, he hesitated to some degree and then spoke.
Well, he didn't want to, but he was told to, so he was hesitating, but he spoke because he was asked to as a service.
So, is there, besides feeling disqualified, is there room for saying no? Or, I'm not phrasing my question correctly.
Yeah, there's always room, but you know, it depends on the circumstance.
Because feelings of disqualification could make one feel I don't want to move forward, but because the order is there,
without going into detail, there's for the purpose of this particular gathering, a person or two were asked to speak something, and they requested to not speak something because. So there's room to decline. But then if asked, you know, no, speak anyways, then you speak anyways. In the mood of service. There's room. Does that answer your question? Okay. Suval.
Guru Maharaj, I've been trying to take all this wonderful information and how it applies to me.
Thank you.
And also thinking, like Jarita Prabhu say, we're in the foothills of this Saranagati process.
Yeah.
And all these qualities, humility, being conscientious that we're dependent on Krishna, Guru and Krishna, those are also in the foothill. And there is the desire of cultivating these qualities, so we make the endeavor to make conscientiously try to apply to be humble and to be submissive to Guru and Krishna and all the angas of Saranagati. But where is that? What kind of obstacle or what kind of situation can just, you know, sort of derail that effort, because it happens.
Offense.
It happens.
Offense.
Can you elaborate on that, Guru Maharaj?
Using the phrase of Haridas Thakur, and then in turn, Jiva Goswami. When the sun, it's daylight, but we can't see the sun because there's clouds in the sky. So because of the clouds in the sky, we cannot see the sun. Similarly, in the sky of the heart, there may be clouds that arise due to offense. And when the clouds that arise due to offense appear in the sky of the heart, even we may be doing the chanting of the holy name, that brilliance of the illumination of the holy name will block the radiance of the pure holy name. We won't experience it. Jiva Goswami goes into this in Bhakti Sundarbha. You know, if there's 100 offenses, then such and such, 1,000 offenses, and then 10,000 offenses. You know, there's degrees. And then clouds get darker and darker, and to the point where one isn't interested in any devotional anything anymore. But, you know, that's the obstacle for us. I'll say it the same thing in another way. The same thing. This is from Tattva Sandarbha, because I just studied this like a lot. Where Jiva Goswami is saying that the position of the Puranas are not only equal to the Shruti portion of the Vedas, they're more important. It gives different reasons. And then there's a doubt that somebody may say, well, wait a minute, in order to study the Shrutis, you have to be a Brahmana, and the person who was the speaker of the Puranas wasn't even a Brahmana, or a Pratiloma marriage product, as was Romaharshan Sutta, then his son Sutta Goswami. He wasn't as qualified. So at his feet there's all these qualified Brahmanas who are hearing from someone who's not a Brahmana, not as elevated as they are. And to that doubt, Jiva Goswami writes, similarly the holy name can be chanted by anyone. And the holy name is, you know, there's verses he cites that says they're the fruit of all the Vedas. So the Brahmanas can study the Shrutis, but anyone can study the Puranas. And anyone can chant the holy name. The eligibility to chant the holy name is for anyone. Then in his commentary, Sarvam Samvadani, he says, it's like a but. But in previous ages, because the holy name is so powerful, only qualified Brahmanas would chant the holy name, and they'd be embedded within Vedic mantras that only Brahmanas could have access to. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya made access to the fruit of all the Vedas, the holy name, available to anybody, everybody. Therefore, it is very important to avoid the offenses against the holy name, because it can be extremely beneficial and it can be extremely detrimental. That's the obstacle, is offense against the holy name, 10 in number. So we should be very careful. That's the obstacle. Stay the course, carefully guard against the 10 offenses. Not like be in fear and trepidation, but be very careful. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a razor. You can be used to shave, but if you're not attentive, you can cut yourself. You have safety razors, you can still cut yourself. It's a good instrument. Be very careful. That's the obstacle, offense, primarily. Stay in good association. When you're in good association, be very careful to not make offense. And it's, you know, it's important. Something else? Yes, back there.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisance. Maharaj, you mentioned that one should surrender with profound sense of humility and not have the worldly understanding of humility. My question is, can you elaborate more on what is that profound sense of humility?
What I said was that Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya's associates had a profound sense of humility. And then we're not going to be very profound because we're just beginners. But a spiritual sense of humility is different than the material sense of humility. I'm just editing your statement a little bit because you misquoted me. And the spiritual sense of humility is very simple. Prabhupada, God is very great, we're very small. Therefore we should serve Him. The position of being the spiritual spark, part of the supreme fire, Krishna. And the part is meant to serve the whole. So it's very, that's keeping it very simple, but it's a spiritual conception of who we are in relation to Krishna. We're very tiny. The material sense of humility is, someone has done me wrong, and I'll not retaliate or become, you know, in a get back spirit. I'll just remain humble. That turn the other cheek. They smack me on one side, and I'll just turn the other cheek with them, smack me on the other side. Not that kind. So, I could elaborate, but it's just with a spiritual conception. Our tininess is really very tiny. For the sake of time, I'm not going to. There's some nice examples. Maybe Dravida will, because he's spent a lot of his time on the West Coast, knows of Prabhupada's statement to Karandar about how to be humble, or how to think of yourself in a humble way. Same thing happened in New York with Brahmananda. These are two, like, in the early days of the Hare Krishna movement, superlative leaders. Amongst leaders, leaders amongst leaders. Brahmananda on the East Coast, Karandar. Prabhupada said the same thing to both of them. They asked the same question. How do we... I'm getting all this responsibility and service, and how do I stay humble? Prabhupada gave the same answer. He said, in the spiritual sky, there's a vast Brahmajyoti. Within that vast Brahmajyoti, unlimited, there's spiritual planets. One amongst them is, the largest amongst them is Goloka Vrindavan. And in that Goloka Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna reside. And one of the portions of a plenary portion of Krishna expands within a cloud within that vastness of the spiritual sky called the Mahatattva. And his name is Mahavishnu. A portion of the personality of Godhead. And from that Mahavishnu comes unlimited numbers of universes that fill up this Mahatattva. And in one of those universes, there's, in every one, there's unlimited numbers of planets, so many planets within each universe. And one of those planets, amongst the so many planets within one universe, is this planet Earth. And on this planet Earth, there are seven continents and seven oceans. And one of those continents is called North America. And one of those continents called North America, there's a country called the United States, of which there are 50 United States. And one of those states is New York State. And one of those states, New York State, there's one city called New York City. And New York City has millions and millions and millions of people. And one part of New York City is Manhattan. And on one of the streets of Manhattan, there's a street called Mott Street. And there's one Brahmananda asking, how am I to remain humble? In relation to Krishna, we're insignificant. But just remember who we are. It's a profound... I mean, it leads to... So the profoundness of Rupa Goswami was not only just knowledge, remembering my tininess, but, feeling quite insignificant and quite unqualified. That's the profoundest, like he wouldn't even sit in the company of these exalted souls, although they've come to honor him. And he's the recipient of the fullness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, but he doesn't want to speak before such an elevated assembly.
Thank you, Maharaj.
One last question, two questions, and we'll end. Thank you, Subal, for running the microphone. Humble service.
When you were presenting on the life of Haridas Thakur at the 26th Second Avenue program, you mentioned you read something to the effect that shyness and humility were different qualities.
Well, they're different manifestations. Shyness, this is my understanding. Dravida, this is a language or semantic question. Shyness, so you please add something if you want to. My understanding of shyness is it's primarily a behavior. It's a feeling, but connected to that feeling is a behavior. And humility is the focus of the term. Humility goes to a feeling, the feeling of insignificance, diminutive sense of ego. And shyness is, at least my sense of etymology, it's more a behavior. Yeah? Yeah, please. Our editor staff must be very, very precise on language, so that's why I'm calling on Kavita.
Well, without consulting the Shastra, namely the dictionary, I could do that. Shyness is a quality. There's some overlap, obviously. They're not mutually exclusive. They can support each other. But shyness, as you say, is you generally feel that, oh, this is the wealth of ladies. You know, it's not that men can't be shy, but ladies are. Shyness is that a lack of putting yourself forward and being retiring and kind of that's the kind of behavior. Humility is because as you said, it's an internal state. Yeah. I heard this once at a Japa retreat, and you can take it or leave it, but it's kind of struck me. And it's not from our Shastra, but it's one of these guys, the seven best ways of behaving or something. Humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. And from that means, and that's an important concept, because to think less of yourself can result in depression and paralysis. I can't do anything, right? But now we see some of that in here, but really what happens is that if you think less of yourself, you're thinking of the Lord, you're thinking of your spiritual master, you're thinking of the Vaishnavas. And in your position as well, you see the great qualities in all of them in relation to yourself. But the impetus is that it inspires you to act, because you may be humble, but they're so great that, he can empower me. And the perfect example is Prabhupada's Markani Bhagavad Dharma. You can see Prabhupada was so determined to follow this, even if he would die trying, right? And then he comes off the boat, and it's like, I'm completely unqualified, I can't speak. But this is your mission, I'm your puppet, if you want, you can empower me. And on that basis, which is utter humility, he went forward. So any Prabhupada was anything but shy, right? He would challenge the... the presidents or anybody, the scientists, but he was extremely humble.
With Haridas, thank you, Dravida. With Haridas, he was extremely humble. At the same time, he would speak very directly, clearly, strongly before the Kazi and whoever, before the Brahmanas, the assembly, and so on. So, he wasn't holding back because of shyness. He was speaking very boldly and acting very boldly, but at the same time, extremely humble, totally humble inside. Last question over here.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, this is from Radhadudi Mataji, who's watching online. My question is, even though it feels very attractive hearing all the wonderful qualities of these devotees, I still find myself struggling with becoming a proper receiver of the mercy and accessing the mercy from my heart. Sometimes the light goes on and some shift happens, and then the curtain closes again and it gets difficult to access the mercy again. How can I access this mercy in a more sustained manner?
How can I access this mercy
In a more sustained manner?
In a more sustained manner. Well, abhyasa. That's by, you know, the example given by Srila Prabhupada is the child's capacity to walk comes by repeatedly tumbling and getting up and walking and tumbling and getting up and walking and eventually walking without tumbling. So, abhyasa. With faith in the process that the object of Krishna is on the object of the process, connecting with Krishna. Krishna is pure, supremely pure. The process is purifying because it's an extension from Krishna and his internal potency. So with faith, let me continue. And then that which is natural through purification will come out and it'll be sustained. So in the beginning part, it's intermittent or anishtita, unsteady. Continuing to strive, that's the abhyasa, the sadhana or the practice, the necessity of continuing with faith. Even I may tumble and the expression, the curtain closes. I lose it. I lose that sense of connectedness. Continue with faith. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.